Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this 15th day of April 2015 in Los Angeles, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are in Canto 9, entitled Liberation, Chapter 1, King Sudyumna Becomes a Woman, text number 18.
Yuyam
Brahmavido
Yuktas
Tapasa
Dagdakilbishaha
Kutaha
Sankalpa
Vaishamyam
Anritam
Vibhudeshu
Eva
Yuyam Brahmavado
Yuktas
Tapasa
Dagdakilbishaha
Kutak Sankalpa Vaishamyam Anritam Vibhudeshviva
Yuyam
Brahmavido Yuktas
Tapasa
Dagdakilbishaha
Kutak
Sankalpa Vaishamyam Anritam Vibhudeshviva
Yuyam Brahmavido
Yuktas
Tapasa
Dagdhakilbishaha
Kutak
Sankalpa Vaishamyam Anvitam Vibhudeshviva
Yuyam Brahmavido
Yuktas
Tapasa
Dagdhakilbishaha
Kutak
Sankalpa Vaishamyam
Anmitam
Vibhudeshiva
Yuyam
Brahmavido
Yuktas
Tapasadag
Nikilbishaha
Sankalpa
Vaishamyam
Anmitam
Vibhudeshiva
Kutak Sankalpa Vaishamyam
Anmitam
Vibhudeshiva. Another lady.
Yuyam Brahmavido Yuktas
Tapasadag
Nikilbishaha
Kutak Sankalpa Vaishamyam
Anmitam
Vibhudeshiva. Word by words,
Yuyam,
of all you,
Brahmavidaha,
completely in awareness of the absolute truth,
Yuktaha,
self-controlled and well-balanced,
Tapasa,
by dint of austerity and penances,
Dagdakilbishaha,
all kinds of material contamination having been burnt out.
Kutaha.
Then how?
Sankalpa
Vaishamyam. Discrepancy in the matter of determination.
Anritam.
False promise, false statement.
Vibhudeshu.
In the society of the demigods. Iva, or. Translation. Now, this is Vivasvan. No, it's Vivasvata Manu, known as Shradadev, who is speaking to Vasishtha Muni. He's complaining that his child is not a son, but a daughter. You are self-controlled, well-balanced in mind, and aware of the absolute truth. And because of austerities and penances, you are completely cleansed of all material contamination. Your words, like those of the demigods, are never baffled. Then how is it possible that your determination has failed? Purport. We have learned from many Vedic literatures that a benediction or curse given by the demigods never proves false. By performing austerities and penances, by controlling the senses and mind, and by achieving full knowledge of the absolute truth, one is fully cleansed of material contamination. Then one's words and blessings, like those of the demigods, are never a failure. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So just to recap a little bit, this is the beginning of the ninth canto. And this canto is going to be filled with all kinds of descriptions. Of course, there's a large section that's describing Lord Ram and his pastimes, a summary of the Ramayana. But there's also a lot of description of the descendants coming down from different dynasties, ultimately culminating in the appearance of Krishna at the beginning of the 10th canto. So that's a lot of what's going to be spoken of here. And that's what is now being described. And so the present instance, as I'm sure you remember, is that you have Vivasvan's son, Vivasvata Manu, whose actual name is Shradadev, and his wife, Shraddha, and they wanted to have offspring, and they were, and Manu was hoping for a son, but his wife wanted a daughter. And so she asked the priest performing the sacrifice to please do, you know, chant the mantras for a daughter. So he did that, and this daughter, Ila, was born. And Manu wasn't so happy with that. So we'll see what happens. There's an interesting thing that happens with the change of back and forth between genders of this son who becomes, the daughter who becomes Sujumna, who then gets changed back again for a certain reason. You read about that later. But what I wanted to speak about was this purport that Srila Prabhupada gives here, in which he says that the words of those who are completely pure and their blessings are never frustrated. And so what comes to mind with this is the I thought about this, and this is now almost the 40th anniversary of the big marathon, 17 books in 2 month marathon, which took place right here. There are three of us here who actually participated. I don't think Mother Balai is here, but she was here, and of course Archita and myself. If anyone else actually took part in that marathon, forgive me, I don't think anyone else was actually here physically. Omkar was here and in the Dham at that time. So this is very pertinent actually for this verse and purport, especially the purport when Srila Prabhupada says that the words and blessings and instructions of the pure devotees are never baffled. And so the context of this marathon is, and I'll tell a little history. This is described in the Lilamrita to some degree and many other remembrances. So, as Archita and Omkar can remember, back in Brooklyn, the press was located there, known as ISKCON Press, and then became the BBT when we were there. I joined in 1973 in March, and I think Omkar was already there, right? You were there by that time. You joined earlier. So the ISKCON Press was there, the actual book production arm, Srila Prabhupada started, BBT, and the warehousing was here. So there was kind of a division. Karunda was in charge at that time, and all the books were being printed and stored here and then distributed around the country. Book distribution was just starting to get going really big. And Srila Prabhupada, as you probably know, he would travel everywhere. At that time, of course, he was using the dictaphone. He would send the tapes to New York, and the transcribing was going on, and then the book production would proceed from then. So I was able to become a proofreader late in 1973, and gradually I became part of the press. But the books didn't come out that fast. I remember working on the third canto, volume three. You have to remember, in those days, in 1973, we had maybe this many books printed. You know, of course, there was Isha Upanishad, Krishna book, TLC, Bhagavad Gita, a bunch of small books. And we had two cantos and maybe one volume of the Bhagavatam, one volume of the third canto, one or two volumes, and no Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the whole corpus was like this. And if you read all of it, you became a very learned scholar. You were like, you know, excellent. Now there's like, you know, Prabhupada's whole corpus has increased enormously. So I was working on the third canto and the fourth canto. The third, 1973, 1974, things were very, very, you know, we put out one volume of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one chapter, Lord Chaitanya in Five Features. This was chapter 7 of the Adi Lila. Prabhupada wanted us to put that out first because it deals with an extensive refutation of Mayavad philosophy and talks about the Panchatattva and everything. So that came out first. And we had one volume of other volume of the CC came out, and that was it. So the production was going on slowly. And meanwhile, Srila Prabhupada was producing all of the tapes and everything for the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So by the time the end of 1974 came about, there were various other things going on. Prabhupada saw it to be a real problem, is that the books were piling up and they weren't coming out. And so what happened, to make a long story short, is that Prabhupada decided to consolidate the whole press operation here. Book production, printing, we had a warehouse and everything under Rameswar. And so that consolidation took place at the beginning of 75. Most of the press went to India for the opening of the Krishna Balaram temple. You may have seen online, it was a big celebration of the 40th year anniversary of that. 1,000 devotees came. So we got to go see that. We came back here, and then we traveled to New Dwarka. We got set up in April, May. And then in June, Prabhupada came to New Dwarka. And there's a morning walk that took place on June 20th, according to the Lilamrita. I forget the dates, but I thought that was a little late, but that's what it is according to. And actually 21st. And on the 21st, so Prabhupada is walking on the beach, probably Venice Beach. And everyone is there. Radha Balava, the manager, and Rameswar, the in charge, were also walking on the beach. And they wanted to explain to Prabhupada how things are going to really increase now that well, the whole press is consolidated and we got it all together. And so what happening is that they were producing one book every 4 months, which is ridiculous. But that's what we were doing in New York. So Rameswar came up to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, we can produce one book every month, four times faster, which seems like, you know, a book a month is amazing in the ordinary publishing world. You know, if you give them a book, like when we give them the Vyasa Puja book, it takes several months, even now, right before they actually produce the physical book. So that was thought to be, you know, quite an achievement, and Prabhupada was proud of it. So Prabhupada said, one book every 2 months, one book every month. You have to produce all the 17 books that are waiting. Two volumes of the fifth canto, and it was thought to be 15 volumes of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It actually turned out to be 13, so the actual count was 15, but then it was 17 books. So you have to produce all 17 books in 2 months. And Rameswar thought he heard, you know, incorrectly, so it couldn't be, you know. So he suggested again, probably, you know, okay, we can do two books in a month, you know, so something like that. And so Prabhupada turns, and this is like the critical thing, it's like the climax. You know. So he turns and he puts his cane, in, you know, into the sand, and he says, 17 books in 2 months. And Rameswar said, it's impossible. Then he turned and put the cane. That's impossible, Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada says, impossible is a word found in a fool's dictionary. And he insisted that it be 17 books in 2 months. So Rameswar was like, stun Radhavallabha. You know, I don't know what he was thinking of. You know, he was thinking of probably burrowing into the sand somewhere. But this was the order of the spiritual master, you know. Otherwise you're disqualified. That was part of it, you know. So they drop back. The morning walk is going on, and Ramaswara and Radhavallabha drop back, and they started conferring, you know, how can we do it? How can we do it, you know? So, of course, they had to do it. So they came up to Prabhupada and said, okay, Prabhupada, we have certain conditions. We can do it. But you have to be available for consultation. Try to understand what it means to produce these books. You've got these tapes. You have to transcribe them with Prabhupada's Bengali and, you know, Sanskrit and all that. Now, by that time, devotees were pretty expert in transcribing. But still, that's a lot of work, and mistakes can come in there. And then after all of the transcribing, you have to edit it. You have to have the Sanskrit Bengali editors, and you have to have the English editing. And then you have to, after editing, everything gets retyped, 3 times. Not like now, where you can just change everything on word processing. There was no word processing. There was just typewriters, mostly. Archita Babu was manning the only computer, which was the big Verityper typesetter thing, dedicated. So, a tremendous amount of work. And what about the paintings? Sharadiya, you know how long it takes to paint? You know? You were here, too? I'm sorry, I forgot. So, you know, the paintings, I mean, some of these paintings, like this painting here, you know, when the artist had plenty of time, months and months to create these beautiful paintings with all the details. 2 months to create paintings for like 17 books?
Marathon,
right? So one of the compromises was that it wasn't going to be as fine as the other artists. And the other big thing was that we could use pictures. They sent Bhagavata to India, travel around and take pictures of the spots of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. So that was a big thing. And you'll find in the Chaitanya Charita, you know, which helps to fill it up. So that was it. We could consult with Prabhupada any time. You know, Prabhupada originally planned to stay here, you know, but it wasn't possible. You know, he had all the devotees all over the country, traveled, and everything. But somehow to call them up or whatever. There was no emails, no anything. So this was the, you know, the big thing was that he could fly anybody in. In other words, there were devotees all over America who had some skill in typing or some skill in proofreading or English skills. And Ramaswamy, you know, flew him in. So you had Srikanta come in from Denver, Sureshwar from wherever he was, and a whole bunch of other devotees. They even met Bas Brahmachari at the time. He was already part of the press. He was the main proofreader. Anyway, it was this big assembly. And I was working on BTG. Jayawada Swami worked on the books and with Hayagriva, and I was working on the BTG. So this is how it went. This whole, you know, accepting this seemingly impossible task on Prabhupada's order not only empowered the devotees here and enlivened the whole yatra, but the whole world heard about it. Because when you think about it, practically everything we do is impossible. You know, the whole movement is impossible. When Prabhupada was first coming to America, Sumati Maharaji says, Swamiji, you'll die over there. I'm not going to give you a trip. You know, at first he had to really, you know, prevail upon her for that. And he finally gave it. But from the outside view, you know, at the time, everyone would roll their eyes and say, what, are you kidding me? You're going to start a worldwide movement in 69 with failing health, no money, no followers, and no support? You know, it doesn't compute. But Srila Prabhupada, he had the order of his spiritual master to preach in English. And he had the blessings of the Goswamis, and he had everyone behind him, and a realized soul, and he was empowered. And somehow or other, he was able to do it. So he knew, you know, from wide experience and realization, that the seemingly impossible becomes possible when you surrender and then Krishna empowers you. And this is what eventually happened. I won't get into details. I was able to eventually get on the editorial assignment. And I was able to edit a few chapters of the fifth canto and a few chapters of the Antya Leela. And, you know, this was like, where am I coming from? You know, like 2 years in the movement, you know, I wasn't a senior devotee or anything. And here I am editing the Antya Leela, you know, the highest level of Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic emotions, you know. And just, you know, like my head was swimming. And then on the other side, the 25th chapter, 26th chapter of the fifth canto, the hellish planets. The middle of the night, we're all in marathon mode, you know, nobody's sleeping. And here's, you know, you do this and you have to drink, you know, molten iron, and you do this and you get pulled, you know, thrown off a cliff. And, you know, this is pretty deep. So anyway, everyone was surrendered and it got done. That was the big thing. It actually, they succeeded in sending the last book to the printer on the last day, you know. And Prabhupada, I remember it was a letter that was sent. Prabhupada was in India at the time. It was August. I think he was in Vrindavan for the Janmashtami or something. And the book arrived, and he said, "You have succeeded." And he blessed, you know, anyone who took part, you know, in the marathon. So I wanted to refer to some verses from the Bhagavad Gita. The one that came to mind, there's so many verses that can, you know, describe this attitude of just whatever happens. I don't see how it's going to happen, but if it's the order of the Guru and Krishna wants it, let me try and see what happens. And that's, you know, so much of the movement is involved in that. So what Krishna says near the end of the Bhagavad Gita, 57th chapter, of the 57th verse of the 18th chapter, Chetasa sava karmani mai sanyasya matparaha buddhi yogam upashritya matchitta satatam bhava. In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. And then there's one part of the purport I wanted to share with you. One should act according to the order of Krishna. This is a very important point. That order of Krishna comes through the disciplic succession from the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, the spiritual master's order should be taken as the prime duty of life. If one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then one's perfection of life in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. Now, that means that you can act according to that order, but there may seemingly be no result at first. The internal result is there for you, but externally it may not be successful, just like Srila Prabhupada. You remember the League of Devotees in Jhansi, right? That was part of his order of his spiritual master to preach in English and preach. So he was preaching. He had this place was given to him, and he was preaching, he was doing it, he started the League of Devotees and everything. But then it was taken away. Despite his great efforts to hold on to that building and everything, was taken away. And so did he say, "Well, what happened? I wasn't empowered, you know, that the process doesn't work." No. It's just meant Krishna had a different plan, right? So Krishna eventually, you know, brought Prabhupada to practically utter poverty. You know, he had practically no money. At a certain point, it was a question of printing the BTG paper or having breakfast, right? That's how poor Prabhupada was. And he would always print the BTG and go out personally. You know, he wrote them, edited, proofread, print, and distribute. He was the whole show. You know, and so much difficulty, the heat stroke in Delhi, you know, he barely survived. You know, he was taken, a friend was coming by, took him to shelter. And, you know, such a struggle, you know, to write the books, you know, the Bhagavatam books and the others, and on and on and on. Until finally, you know, at age 69, you know, to come to America alone like that. You know, so far, Prabhupada showed this perfect example of this. And then the next verse, Krishna promises in text 59, 58. Matchita sarvadurgani matprasada tarishyasi atachetam ahankara nashosisi vinangshasi. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So this is the, you know, a verse of empowerment. Krishna says, there seem to be so many impossible obstacles. Each one of us can make a list, that an obstacle that we feel, you know, well, this is as far as I can go because it's just too impossible. I can do this, but not this. But Krishna is saying that you'll overcome all obstacles provided that you're following the previous verse and simply following my order and the order of my pure devotee and trying your best, both internally and externally. In other words, we all have our sadhana, the sadhana part of our bhakti. That also can be a great struggle. getting up, chanting good rounds, controlling the senses, you know, doing the study, performing our duties. There are challenges in every step. But that internal or, you know, bhajan, if you will, part of our devotional life gives you the strength, the empowerment to practice, to do some other duty for Krishna, whether we're preaching here or there, do a deity worship, whatever service is yours according to your own situation. It should be done for Krishna somehow or other. And it should be done under the instruction of the pure devotee and his representatives. So if we're actually trying our best, then the obstacles become less, and you're able to overcome them. And by overcoming obstacles, you get more and more faith and more confidence, you know, in Krishna consciousness. So this is, and then of course another verse that Krishna directly talks about this is in the 10th chapter, in the four essential verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna first says, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything emanates from me. The wise who understand this perfectly worship me with all their hearts. Right? They're always thinking of me, machitta. Their life energy is devoted to me. They're endeavoring with great determination. They're meeting together and discussing me and enjoying life in this way. Tushyanti cha damanti cha. And for devotees who are always serving me with love, tesham sutata yuktanam, bhajadam priti purvakam, tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamapi yanti te. Krishna uses that word buddhi yoga in this one, in text 57, which we read. Buddhi yogam apashritya, taking shelter of this bhakti yoga. So here he's saying to those who are serving me with love, endeavoring with great determination, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. I give them the intelligence by which they can perform their duties nicely, to actually do amazing things. And this movement, to this day, the most amazing thing about the Hare Krishna movement is that it's still the Hare Krishna movement, that it survived, despite all of our attempts, you know, this first generation and our foolishness and different mistakes that we made. But it's still going on, it's still expanding, and it's still an ever-increasing force in this world, which is what Krishna wants, what Lord Chaitanya expects. And I think of the last line, right, the last line of the first verse of the Shikshastaka. Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Vijayate means victorious. That this chanting will be victorious. Now even today it looks like, oh, there's so many horrible things going on in this world. You know, the rich get richer, you know, and they buy the governments, and wars are going on. And what about global warming? What about, you know, you can list 10. Everyone knows what they are, of ways in which the world's coming to an end. Right? Not very far in the future. I won't see it. Maybe I'll be lucky. You know, 10, 15, 20, 30, maybe 50 years. But wait a minute. What about the prediction that there's going to be a 10,000-year golden era of Lord Chaitanya's movement? So the only countervailing force to all of this evil that's going on in the world, the Krishna consciousness movement, this is the countervailing force, is the spread of the holy name, the Srila Prabhupada's books, the knowledge, and the transformation of character that people undergo by practicing this process of bhakti yoga. Everything depends on the character of the inner character of the persons, right? You have this presidential election going on. Do they ever stop now? I mean, it seems that one election is over, it goes on, you know, the next, they're still jockeying for position. So what is the character of these people who are running, you know, who are going to, you know, run this nation, which is, you know, controlling so much things all over the world? From a material point of view, it looks like hopeless. But the power of the holy name, Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, that if we follow the orders of Srila Prabhupada, if we accept duties that may seem very difficult or even impossible, yeah, under the protection of Srila Prabhupada, all the acharyas, ultimately Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then there can be a transformation. Transformation of ourselves and those who we contact and those who we reach through the media of Krishna consciousness, primarily the books, and so many other ways, the holy name. So this is the lesson that came out of that, and it actually transformed the whole society, that marathon, 40 years ago, when it was actually successful, and it seemed impossible, but the forces were marshaled, and under Srila Prabhupada's instruction and his blessings, devotees did amazing things. And you can imagine, you know, all over the world, just going out on book distribution was thought at one point to be practically impossible. How can we sell all these books? They stayed in the warehouse when they were first printed, the TLCs and the Krishna book, you know, and they would go out. And then, who was it? Buddhimanta? What, pioneer? Who said, all right, take out the Krishna books in San Francisco. And they started selling 4 or 5 a day, you know, big hardback Krishna book trilogies or whatever. You know, and gradually it grew. It actually can happen. Same principle. Seems impossible, but if you try and surrender, then the empowerment comes and gradually it's shown to be very possible. And so that spirit is really what's inspiring this movement today. You know, I was just in Mayapur recently, and to see that, you know, astounding temple rising from the rice fields, you know. Who would have ever thought such a thing? You know, but there it is. It's coming together. And I think the team is coming here, right? When are they coming? In May, yeah. They'll be there in San Diego, too, on May 10th. So Janani Vasu has been sitting in Mayapur for, you know, 40 years worshipping. They've got, what, Lord Chaitanya's shoes, is it? Yeah. And a helmet from? Nityananda. Nityananda's shoes. So they're making great strides wherever they go. People are making great contributions. So all of this is, you know, we're being moved along in the waves of the Krishna consciousness society. And Udvarka is an incredible pilgrimage site. You know, so much happened here. You know, Srila Prabhupada, was it 1970 when he stayed for 8 months, I think? I don't know if it was in this building. Was it the old center? I forget. It's Nasianiga. I don't know. I was here. And you know, the devotees would come in from different parts of the country, you know, the presidents, and learn what we take for granted. The standards of deity worship, the morning program was set up, and Srila Prabhupada established everything here. And then, Srila Prabhupada gave so much attention here. And of course, Rukmini Dwarkati, she blessed, and they're blessing us for so many years. So this is what I was inspired from this, just thinking of this 40-year anniversary. It's been so many years. But the lessons from that time and that pastime can reverberate if we study it in our own lives. Okay, Balaram Prabhu.
Thank you for your inspiring book distribution class.
Yeah, forgive me, I'm a little slow. I haven't actually eaten anything since about 8 p.m. Monday. Near jail, so I'm... So Bhrigupati Prabhu joined a few months after I did in Brooklyn, Henry Street, Brooklyn. I forget his karmic name, Prabhu?
April 16th.
Okay, so that was precisely 3 weeks after I joined. I joined on March 27th. I joined the temple, and Bhakta Jeff came later. But I was in charge of Bhakta Jeff. I remember taking him across the street to the party. These, you know, the memories there. So my first book actually I got from Kapindra. I was visiting the temple. I had been visiting the temple for months, and it was a Krishna book. A Krishna book. I'd been practicing yoga, and I was involved with another group. I almost became a total Mayavadi, but Srila Prabhupada saved me. I had in my hand an English translation of the Vedanta Sutra with the Sharirika Bhasha translated in English, but I never read it. I actually bought that book involved. I was with this mission that Prabhupada talks about. He never names it. You know, this mission, that Yatamat Tatapat mission in New York. They were very prominent that time. Anyway, but luckily I came in touch with the devotees, and eventually I bought the Krishna book. But I had been, a yogi and a meditator and Om and so many things. And so the Krishna book was too much lila, too much, for me at that point. So I kept meditating and doing yoga. But then I chose as my meditation mantra, Hare Krishna. That was one of the mantras that you could choose. And by that time I met the devotees, but I really wasn't inclined so much. But by chanting that mantra and remembering, yes. This was all in New York. Yeah. I was part of the Integral Yoga group. I was doing that. And they, anyway, it's a long story. But I was living, I had my own little place. I had a job in a hospital. And I would do Hatha Yoga and then sing a little bit and then do my meditation on Hare Krishna. And by just meditating on that mantra and then trying to chant it in my mind all day, I became inclined to Krishna. I'm a little more interested in the Krishna book than I visited. And the book that really turned me around was the TLC. Because I was very philosophical, And you too? TLC was just that really answered so many questions and so much, love of God and all these things. And I became fascinated by that. And then, so I joined. I actually moved in March 27th. But I didn't start working on the books. I was part of the team that worked on the incense. The sky incense and the fragrant oils. That was my task, filling those bottles made with fragrant oil. I smelled like cherry and strawberry all day. And then 3 hours of Harinam in the afternoon. And then the evening program, everyone come down, It was so wonderful. But gradually I told, as I was reading the Krishna book, I told Radha Balva, there's some mistakes in here. And he said, oh, can you find them? If you find them, because we're going to reprint it in a few months, so see what you can do. So they gave me a red pen. That was it. I had no desk. I had no nothing. And in those days, there was no furniture except at the press. So I was reading, lying down, in my bunk and everything. And gradually, I marked it up with little, there's obvious spelling errors and things in the Krishna book. What were you going to say?
I was just going to ask, what kind of mistakes?
Spelling. Just spelling, and some obvious, where it should be capital, where it's lowercase, and things like that. That was all. So that's how I got my proofreading job. So instead of doing the incense, half a day I did the proofreading of third canto and like that, and started like that, But I mean, I'll never forget, when you proofread a book, you really look hard. And that fourth canto, my God, those prayers of Shiva. I remember those. I started memorizing those. I said, anyone who chants these verses, goes back to Godhead and everything. So I started memorizing the song of Shiva that he taught to the Prachetas, and Dhruva and all of these incredible instructions. To this day, the Kumaras teachings to Maharaj Prithu. All right. Well, the famous one probably would always chant, Yad Pada Pangaja Palasa Palasa Bhakti Akarmasa Yangudita Budguta Yanti Santa. This is near the end of his teaching. The Prabhupada has one lecture where he's chanting this verse again and again. The first line, So, yat pada pankaja palasa palasa bhaktya. Those who are experiencing the vilas, the spiritual pleasure of through bhakti, of the lotus, the toenails of the Lord's lotus feet. Pankaja palasa palasa bhaktya. Karmashayan, patita mudguti, the knots in the heart of a material desire are completely cut and asunder. But for others, and this word rikta matayo means whose minds are empty, means devoid of bhakti, the jnanis, the yogis, what to speak of the karmis, despite great effort, the jnanis and the yogis, they can't stop the waves of material desire. So nobody else can actually cut those knots. So therefore you were advised to worship Vasudev. You were advised to worship Krishna. But the English, I don't know the Sanskrit, the one that really got me is that we should mold our lives in such a way that we cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's one of the instructions of Sanat Kumara to Maharaj Prithu. Mold your life in such a way that you cannot live in peace. It's Prabhupada's instruction without... And then, of course, the prayers of Dhruva, his famous, purport. I mean, when he finally sees Vishnu, and after all of that meditation, 6 months, you know, very deep austerity, chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, you know, all he was doing, then he starts to slow down his breathing, right? Slow down his breathing until finally he's entrained the universal breathing. He's so powerful. And the demigods are suffocating. So they go to Vishnu, please do something. We're suffocating. This Dhruva, he's become so strong. So Vishnu comes down on Garuda. I learned it from Krishni Garba, actually. He comes down. And suddenly Dhruva's meditation breaks, like, you know, with Narada. He can't see the Lord inside. He opens his eyes, and there he is outside. You know, so he starts crying, ripillating, hair standing on end, rolling on the ground. He describes that with every one of his senses, he was like drinking in. He was the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord, like that. So then he offers his prayers, and the one that really sticks in my mind is Bhakti Mahup of Hatam Trayme Pasango. He's saying, "My dear Lord, I don't want the kingdom anymore." You know, that's in another prayer, famous prayer, Saman Kritartasmin. But what I do want is association, very strong, close association of those devotees in whose hearts the current of pure devotion is flowing like anything. Prabhatam Dhaime Pasango, Ananda Mahatam Amalashayanam, whose hearts are completely free of material desire. Then what will be the benefit? Then I will easily be able to cross over this ocean of birth and death, which is filled with blazing fire-like dangers. I'll never forget that phrase. Because I'm becoming mad to drink the nectar of talks about you. Guna katamrita pana matta. I'm becoming intoxicated with that. Now in the purport, there's this famous line where Prabhupada says, those who are trying to be Krishna conscious but staying aloof from this Krishna conscious society are living a great hallucination. Because by that time already some devotees were leaving, there were some factions that were developing here and there. And he said, those who are staying aloof from the International Society of Krishna Conscious and remain Krishna Conscious are living a great hallucination. The memorable line. So these are some of my experiences, you know, sitting in that room, you know, working on the books like this. And then, so it developed like that. Any other questions, comments? You don't need the mic. He doesn't need the mic at all.
Prabhupada gave the blessing. All of you have pleased the parampara and will go back home, back to God.
There's a lot. There's a letter that was sent. Brigham. Give him Brigham again.
Thank you, Prabhu. Amazing class. You really touched upon this in the class, but I just want to reiterate the point that Prabhupada wasn't asking these devotees to do anything that... You know, he wasn't putting them in a position that he wasn't in himself, and he wasn't, asking them to, saying that they weren't. They he already experienced what he was setting them up for. In a letter he wrote to Sudama in 1973, he said, "When I was alone in your New York, I was thinking, who will listen to me in this horrible, sinful place?
Right.
But anyway, I'll stay a little bit longer. At least I can distribute a few of my books. That is something. But Krishna was all along preparing something I could not see. He brought you young American boys and girls to me one by one to be trained up for doing the work of Lord Chaitanya. He says, now I could see it as a miracle. Otherwise, your city of New York, one old man with a few books to get money to, barely enough money to buy edibles, how could he survive? What to speak of spreading a God-conscious movement for the salvation of the entire humankind? He says, that is Krishna's miracle. Now I can see it. So he experienced it himself. He was in a totally hopeless situation, where he really wasn't thinking, at least on one level, he was thinking, there's no way I'm going to be successful here.
Yeah.
I'll stay. I'll distribute a few books. That's something. But then he experienced Krishna's miracle.
Yeah,
he saw it like that. He saw it as a miracle.
Yeah, that's
Krishna.
Great that you've got that memorized. I can see that's really impressive. That's actually how everything happens. You know, even when the first moment you start chanting Hare Krishna and the transformation is taking place, you know, Krishna's changing you, miraculous transformations are going on. And empowerment. And this is Srila Prabhupada is the ideal of that. Yes, Sharadi. Hold on. Speak into the mic.
I have a question. Because, in the days of yore, we
days
used to go chanting Hare Krishna all day long on the street, day after day, and then come back and eat and then go out in the evening. By doing that activity, Will that help stop the progress of Kali Yuga? Or would it, you know, I mean, because, you know, there's no rain, there's no water in California. Is it
Were you here yesterday?
I'm not done. Is it the duty of the Brahmins? Is it the duty of the Brahmins to do that activity, you know? That's my question.
Okay. Yes. As you heard, the statement was, in the old days, there was so much more Harinam, right? Harinam was basically the activity that devotees had. And will that activity turn back the current of Kali Yuga, especially we have so much drought going on? Were you here yesterday? And I don't know if you're here in the class. Yesterday's purport, for yesterday's class, you read the long purport? And it directly mentioned that. Even Prabhupada says there's so much drought here in America and in Europe. He wrote that 40 years ago, and it's the same thing is true. So, yes, of course, the chanting of the holy name, but as you well know, and we all know, when the books started to come out, and Prabhupada wanted the distribution, he wanted those to go on side by side. He wanted the book distribution to expand and to be a primary means by which we spread Krishna consciousness. That's Sankirtan. So the answer is Prabhupada wanted both, and both should go on. There should be extensive chanting of the holy name, and there should be distribution of the books. It can't be one or the other, you know. Prabhupada, certainly, he spent so much time and effort, and we know without a doubt that he wanted these books produced, that's why I gave the class, and distributed widely. So, but the Yuga Dharma is the chanting of the holy name. It's congregational chanting. And that should also go on parallel. There should be extensive spreading of the chanting, no doubt. And that will be the other, you know, aspect of the Sankirtan movement that saves this world. There's no question about it. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.